Calling 911 when in an accident may just not be enough. Car accident, remember. After 911, call 411. 1-800-411-PAIN. 1-800-411-PAIN is a legal and medical referral service. Non-employee spokesperson.
The Machine is back at it. Guns N' Roses is coming to Marlins Park next Tuesday with the rock spectacle of 2017, the Not In This Lifetime Tour, and the ticket is giving you a chance to be there. Join us inside Lilt Lounge at the Epic Hotel in downtown Miami this Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m., where we will be giving away 7 pairs of GNR tickets, including 2 pairs of premium tickets that come with a night stay at the Epic Hotel. For more information on the Epic Hotel Concert Series packages, visit epichotel.com. Guns N' Roses, Not In This Lifetime Tour is coming to Marlins Park, and we're giving you a chance to be there on AM 790 and FM 104.3 HD2, The Ticket. Welcome back here to 790 The Ticket. Greg Likens alongside Manny Navarro filling in for Josh Freeman on this Thursday evening. Hope everybody's doing well. And man, Manny, it's been a busy show so far.
Yeah, man, and we had the phone lines lit up about Kaepernick and what's plan B for the Dolphins if this injury is serious to Tannehill, and people were all fired up. Now we got to get somebody fired up about something else here.
You're right. We will keep the phone lines open if you want to join the conversation. 786-360-0790 is the phone number. That's 786-360-0790. You can also text the show at 67974. Before we reset everything that we've been discussing, let's get the headlines.
Here's what's trending now in Miami on The Ticket. WAXYAM South Miami and FM 104.3 HD2 Miramar.
The radio home of Heat.
We'll start with today's big news. Dolphins quarterback Ryan Tannehill injured his left knee during a team drill this morning at practice, and there are conflicting reports regarding his status. According to multiple outlets, he hyperextended the knee but sustained no structural damage. However, Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald says that the results of Tannehill's MRI were inconclusive, meaning Tannehill may still need surgery, but also could avoid a procedure and be back on the field this season. Albert Breer of the MMQB says Tannehill will get a second opinion on the knee, and we will continue to update this ever-changing story as more information becomes available. In other injury news, according to the Herald's Barry Jackson, the Dolphins fear that offensive guard Ted Larson has a torn bicep and could miss extended time. Elsewhere in the NFL, the Cowboys and Cardinals are kicking off the preseason during tonight's Hall of Fame game from up in Canton. And as it currently stands, 8 minutes to go or so in the second quarter, the Cardinals have a 15-7 lead, although not many starters are actually playing in that game. To college football, where the preseason coaches poll was released today, and the Miami Hurricanes are ranked number 18. Elsewhere around the state, Florida is 2 spots ahead of the Canes at 16th, while Florida State is ranked number 3. Alabama is the preseason number 1, followed by Ohio State, the aforementioned Seminoles, USC, and then Clemson round out the top 5. And finally, in baseball, the Marlins have the day off before beginning a weekend series in Atlanta tomorrow night. And those are your headlines. By the way, Manny, I switched from the football game over to ESPN here on our TVs.
Right.
Because the basketball tournament is on.
Mm-hmm. This is the final, right?
This is the final for $2 million, and it's a 2-point game. So I figured we catch history. I didn't think we're going to miss much if we missed part of the second quarter of the Hall of Fame game.
Right.
That I'd flip over and see which of these two teams. It's a winner-take-all 64-team tournament made up of a lot of former college and pro stars. Want to see who wins a $2 million winner-take-all prize at the end of this. So
it's entertainment for sure. Is that who I think it is?
It's Darren Collison, I believe.
No, it's Darren Collison. Okay, I thought that was maybe Stevenson, the guy who blew in LeBron's.
Lance Stevenson?
Yeah, I thought that was him.
No, I think it's Darren Collison who's coaching the Challenge ALS team. They're playing the Overseas Elite team. For anybody who's followed the basketball tournament, you know that Overseas Elite is going for a three-peat. They've won this 2 years in a row.
So they're going for what, $6 million then? It's just $2 million apiece each year?
Well, it hasn't been $2 million every year. So okay. I think the first year they won it was like $500,000. Last year was $1 million. And this year they've upped the ante significantly to $2 million. Carmelo Anthony is courtside because he was big into orchestrating to make sure this event was held in Baltimore, the final four. And so this is being played at Coppin State University in Baltimore. And I'm upset, Manny, as a Syracuse grad, Boeheim's Army
Made
it to the Final Four, so they lost on Tuesday night in the semifinals. But we were anticipating this big Carmelo Anthony reunion in the final, but unfortunately came up just short the other night. So anyway, with 11 seconds left in that, we'll keep you updated for anybody who cares, and also update you on that Hall of Fame game as well. But just to reset this Ryan Tannehill story, Manny, we got a lot of people who were calling and texting earlier, giving us their opinions, not just on Tannehill, but also on possible replacements for him or other players who could come in to at least provide some competition at the quarterback spot should he miss any time. Matt Moore, as we know, is going to be the starter if Tannehill misses any time. But then there's this remaining and I think very valid, legitimate question is, there's a Colin Kaepernick or a Jay Cutler, who I know we speculated about, but then Jeff Darlington had the report that Cutler would be interested in one team and one team only if he's going to quit his broadcasting gig with Fox before it even begins. That would be to join the Dolphins. But according to Darlington, he would want starters' money and want to be guaranteed the starting job.
That's not going
to
happen.
So I don't, you know, I don't know if he'll relent on that. I don't even know if Adam Gase is interested, but Adam Gase certainly has a relationship with him. But all of these different scenarios now are being bandied about as we sit here and wait to see the severity of Ryan Tannehill's injury, because we still don't know that yet.
Yeah, and it could be a couple of days of uncertainty here. I mean, wherever he goes to get that second opinion, I'm sure we're not going to get answers right away. And as Armando wrote in his column that I referenced earlier in the show, this could very well be a situation where the Dolphins are waiting a couple of days and also deciding what to do, who to sign, who to go out and get. According to Armando, there was a sort of meeting of the brain trust today for a couple of hours as they sort of debated what do we do here. Personally, I think part of the debate is, do you send Ryan Tannehill now into surgery? And this is just pure speculation, but my guess is same knee buckles. You didn't have surgery the first time. Maybe the Dolphins at this point are deciding, do we send him into surgery now where we just get this thing fixed once and for all, so we have our quarterback back next season. And where do we go from here? Maybe that's part of what the discussion was. Again, pure speculation on my part, but if the brain trust is getting together to meet to discuss these issues, that had to have been on the table.
And you just mentioned Armando's report. If you don't mind just updating our audience on what he mentioned, which I thought was interesting because I don't think any of us had ever heard this reported before, probably because it wasn't consequential until now. But the fact that as we were starting the show off, we were just talking about, hey, you know, maybe Tannehill should have gotten his knee completely taken care of in terms of going under the knife, getting the surgery, not healing naturally as he elected to do. And he had that option because it wasn't a complete tear. But Armando pointed out that the timeline on that in terms of the recovery would have really, really hampered his ability to play this season.
Yeah, according to Armando, he would not have been, Tannehill would not have been ready for the start of camp. He would have had to likely return sometime around Thanksgiving. And so obviously, Armando's not just going to throw that out there. I'm sure somebody with the Dolphins or somebody in the know would have told him that that was the projected return date for Tannehill had he had the surgery. So, you know, that maybe that's part of the reason. As I said earlier in the show, this is Ryan Tannehill's body. He's got to make the best decision for himself. I'm sure after missing the playoffs last year, his first instinct was, let's not go under the knife. I want to come back and play football right away and pick up where I left off. And unfortunately, you run into what happened today, and that's a guy who unfortunately had his knee buckle, and we'll find out soon, hopefully, the severity of it. But again, to me, all signs are pointing to this is a major problem. Again, it's the same knee, the way it buckled, the way it fell, the way players were talking about, were praying for him. It just doesn't sound good to me at all.
It doesn't, and to piggyback on that, even if it's not worst-case scenario, and even if he just has to miss, you know, a relatively short period of time before they determine he can be back on the field, there's going to be these lingering questions in the backs of everyone's minds about, you know, when's the next bad step that he takes or bad cut that he makes on a football field. And then all of a sudden you've got, you know, all the gloom and doom and the scary speculation that we saw throughout the day today coming back to the Dolphins, because they have invested a lot, both financially and in time and a draft pick, you know, a first round pick, a top 10 pick in Ryan Tannehill over the years. And so he is definitively their franchise quarterback. They're paying him that way. They're expecting him to play at a high level this season. And by all accounts, he was primed to do so, considering everything he said about his comfort level in the offense and the leadership steps that he's been taking So from that standpoint, it's really disappointing. But I think the bigger picture here, and Manny, you made the point earlier, is that whether he can come back sooner rather than later, as it is, they need to figure out what else they're going to do with this position, because just having Matt Moore might not be enough.
Right.
Because, again, once you put him into the fray, and he's almost 33 years old, one false step or one hit here or there, he might not be able to be on the field either. It's just that quickly how things can turn injury-wise in the NFL.
Yep, and you got a guy like Colin Kaepernick who's just sitting out there. You don't need to make him the starting quarterback, but you could sign him relatively cheap. At this point, he's desperate for work, and you don't have to make a heavy commitment. You bring him in. If it works out, high reward. If it doesn't work out, you cut your losses, and that's it. And he leaves, and hopefully next season, Ryan Tannehill is able to go, and he's fully recovered from this knee injury. Obviously, what we saw today is the fact that he's not, and then he's had a setback, and who knows how long he's going to be out. But, you know, the last thing you want to do in any NFL season is go into the year already with your backup quarterback under center. You can't just do that. You need to go out and pick up somebody else as insurance, and I expect that's what the Dolphins are probably going to do here in the next 48 to 72 hours.
Yeah, it would seem that would be very likely. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can, 67974 via text. You can also call the show at 786-360-0790. By the way, that overseas elite team just won the $2 million. So they're racking up the paychecks. It's a bunch of players who, as you can imagine based on the name, play overseas,
right,
and banded together for this summer tournament and keep bringing in the cash. That's a nice haul, $2 million spread out over that roster.
Yeah, I wonder, the $2 million for this tournament, the Ice Cube League, the 3-on-3 league, what's the grand prize? We could look that up during the break, how much the grand prize is for winning that league.
Yeah, it's unclear. I mean, because I don't know how much each of those players is being paid to be in the league, because I would assume they all have some sort of rate that they're being paid. I mean,
right, you're not doing that for free. You're making money. So
no, that's for sure. I mean, it's not like all those guys are gonna, you know, come out of retirement to a certain degree. I mean, they're not playing back in the NBA,
right,
but be involved in this unless there's some financial incentive. I mean, I'm sure some of them still love the game, there's a passion there, but I don't think they want to put their bodies on the line.
No, they're playing for money.
There's certainly some financial incentive. Not to like be down and out about the Dolphins, but I think it is worth mentioning big picture if you examine this team. And this is so ironic, Manny, because I was out at Dolphins camp this past Saturday. Captain Curtis and I did a show from out there from 8 to 10. And, you know, talking to some of the people around the organization, asking how training camp was going. Again, at that point, I think that was the fourth practice, so still early on. But it was like, man, I mean, Pouncey got cleared right before training camp started, so they haven't had any injuries. There's no real news, good or bad, one way or the other, that's making headlines. It was a very quiet first few days and first week of practice. And then all of a sudden, Monday, I was there to see this. Jay Ajayi leaves with a concussion. We find out after the fact that it indeed was a concussion, so he's out right now. Mike Pouncey still hasn't practiced at all because of his hip. And they, you know, we expected that, but certainly he's one of the most important players on the roster, and he hasn't seen the field yet. And then now Ryan Tannehill, there's uncertainty about his status. Ted Larson, as Barry Jackson reported, looks like he could be out for a long time, if not the season. So it's
changes
just amazing
quickly.
How
changes
quickly,
quickly,
right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Listen, I covered the Heat this season, and talk about injuries and how just one after another, you know, as soon as the Chris Bosh news was announced, all of a sudden, you know, you had Josh Richardson go down. You had the Winslow injury early in the season. It feels like South Florida's kind of been cursed. You look at the Marlins with all the injuries they've had. You know, guys just going down. It's been a bad year for South Florida in terms of injuries, and you hope that the Dolphins are somehow able to sidestep this. I know losing Tannehill maybe for even just a couple months or a few weeks is not going to be great. You want your starting quarterback from the beginning, but hopefully it's not as bad as maybe I think it is.
And I think a lot of people are kind of jumping to that conclusion as well, that it could be worse than everybody expected. It's interesting. We're getting a text here that says, I don't have any idea why there's even a discussion the Dolphins should have signed him an hour ago, I guess referring to Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
And somebody else says, why is Kaepernick the first name that comes up for possible QB? Is he the only one out there? I mean, Robert Griffin III is out there, so that's a pretty high-profile name.
Right.
Name, I should say, you know, just name.
Well, you talk about a guy who hasn't been able to overcome an injury, right? I mean, that's what I'm worried about with Tannehill here, you know, that this is sort of a career-changing type issue.
Right. And then we mentioned Jay Cutler because, even though he is retired. And Adam Gase, there are pictures that surfaced online this summer. He attended Jay Cutler's retirement party.
Right.
So he was there for that. And he's got a job now with Fox as a broadcaster. His name has been brought up, but that's the less conventional route because he's not like a true free agent. I mean, you'd have to pry him away from this other job that he's doing and, you know, have to convince him to come back to the game of football. And apparently, you know, he wants to be paid like a starter, wants to be guaranteed to be the starter. So there's some strings attached there. I mean, but Kaepernick is the most high-profile free agent quarterback and has been for a very long time, quite frankly. So that's why his name keeps coming up. He's not the only name, but I would argue that if you're looking for somebody who fits the mold in terms of experience, talent level, and availability, he should be the first guy we bring up.
Well, and we had O.J. McDuffie on earlier in the show, and I was really, that was the first name he said. He said Cap. I asked him, who would you call first? And he said Cap. And part of that is his leadership. He cited his leadership, that he's respected in the locker room. The fact that he's young, he's still 29 years old. He took a team to the Super Bowl. I mean, there's all the other political reasons why some fans are against it. But really, you look at the lot of quarterbacks that are available, that's the guy. That's the guy who's the best on the market right now.
Yes. So we will come back. We'll continue to talk about this as it's been a hot button discussion for us tonight. If you want to get involved in the program, again, 786-360-0790 on the phone line. You can also text the show at 679-74. We'll also give you an update on the Hall of Fame game. I'm curious if anybody's actually interested in this game.
Yeah.
Because for various reasons. So we'll get into that and touch on a few other sports that we haven't gotten into yet, including a record-setting financial deal that was officially made today in world soccer. We got to go over these numbers because it's just unbelievable. That's Manny Navarro. I'm Greg Likens. We'll be back in just a moment here on 790 The Ticket.
I feel so good. I feel so numb. Yeah.
On December 2nd and 3rd, the Riptide Music Festival 2017, powered by Ford, will commandeer Fort Lauderdale Beach. Tomorrow morning at 8:15, Zaslow, Romberg, and Amber will unveil all of the bands appearing and give you the chance to win tickets before they go on sale. That's this Friday at 8 a.m., only on AM 790 and FM 104.3 HD2, The Ticket. Welcome back here to 790 The Ticket. Greg Likens alongside Manny Navarro, filling in for Josh Friedman on this Thursday evening. I am interested to hear that lineup there for Riptide Music Festival. And we're getting a bunch of text messages about Kaepernick, Tannehill. We'll also take your phone calls as well, 786-360-0790. I did want to ask you, Manny, just your opinion on this, because every year I feel that there is this sentiment that everybody's really excited for football to return, and rightfully so. I think we're all excited for football to return. But then when it annually kicks off with the Hall of Fame game, and when you have Bruce Arians declare earlier this week that none of his starters are going to play, and the Cowboys, as it was reported earlier today, were going to play like two starters on offense. They were both like interior offensive linemen. And then, you know, barely any starters on defense. It's like, how much interest is there really in this? Or is it just any football will do after this, such a long time off?
Well, I think as a football fan, yes, any football will do. But I feel like we're heading down the same path as the NBA with its Saturday night or Sunday games, where they just, for whatever reason, out of a game that's nationally televised, you kind of want to see the starters a little bit, even if it's just for a series or two. Come on, man, give the fans what they want. You know, I mean, I know there's five preseason games, and maybe you want to make promises to guys who are starters and say we're not going to play you in five preseason games. But my concept, and you and I talked about this off the air, I don't know why the starters don't play earlier in the preseason and then completely rest the last two preseason games. Like, to me, that's the smarter tactic. You don't want them getting hit. You want them, their bodies to be completely fresh before the first week of the season. And you're looking at the backups late in preseason anyway. So why play the starters then? I do it the complete opposite way. Play the starters early and then rest them the rest of the preseason.
Yeah, it's interesting because the way it always is that third preseason game is the dress rehearsal.
Right.
And that's the game that's the most important. And they'll play, the starters will play oftentimes a full half, if not into the second half. But you're proposing that they just knock that out of the way early on and then make sure everybody health-wise and avoid injury-wise.
Right, that's all you care about is getting out of the preseason injury-free. And yet, I feel like every year we're talking about torn ACLs and It's just way too many starters are going down with injuries. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it seems like more and more every single year. The interesting thing about tonight's Hall of Fame game is that, and probably a lot of people remember this in our audience, but last year everybody was all hyped up for the Hall of Fame game. It never happened.
Right, it got lightning, right? It was lightning in the area?
The field was terrible.
Oh, it was the field, okay.
Yeah, the field was, they determined before the game, they go out there, and I don't know why it was game day where they're like, yeah, this doesn't look like it's safe right. for us to play. But the field, the literal conditions they determined was a
unplayable,
health
right.
hazard for these guys. Like, they were going to get hurt if they played on the field. And so, you know, last year it was all that buildup to Sunday night. And so you'd already had all the Hall of Fame festivities. And then that was a real poor way to conclude the weekend. This time around, they're having the game Thursday night. They normally have it on that Sunday night, so at least the field is fine. They played almost the whole first half, and everything's okay there in Canton. We're getting some people on the phone lines, man. Let's go out to the phones here at 786-360-0790. By the way, somebody on the text says preseason football is like gluten-free pizza. That's not pizza, and it isn't football.
he nailed it.
Anthony is in Miami. Anthony, thanks for calling the show. How are you doing tonight?
Well, how my family doing?
Hey, good, we're man. Good, Anthony.
All right. I hope y'all get tired of me. Hey, look here. I want to ask the Hall of Fame, why Kenny, the one who played for Houston?
Kenny Easley?
Kenny Easley. Why did they make him wait 33 years to give him Hall of Fame? That 33 years.
That's a long time, to be sure, Anthony, but at least he's there, right? I mean, at least he made it. So not everybody can say they do that.
Yeah, but, you know, I looked at Kenny. I said, man, Kenny, like, I hate to say it. I'm older than Kenny. But Kenny, like, he waited for the grave. I said, man, I'm sorry. I said, look at Kenny. But, I mean, the guy had to wait since 1984. Jason telling them, they need to change this. These guys, how long did Jason Taylor had to wait?
Jason Taylor is the first ballot Hall of Famer. So he got in as soon
five
as
years,
he possibly
right?
could
a
have.
5 year wait is what it is, yeah.
I don't agree with that, man. Some of these guys, some of these new guys, they need to wait 10 years. I don't think they should do them guys like that. Man, a guy wait 33 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's sad, man. The guy had to wait. The guy, he almost ready to retire.
Anthony, thanks for the phone call, all right?
Okay, bye-bye, man.
All right. Anthony loves calling 790. It's always good to hear from Anthony. Yeah, I mean, I think, Manny, if you talk to these players, listen, they all have egos. That's part of what makes them so good and so great at their given craft. You see it in all the different sports. I'm sure Kenny Easley would have loved to have gotten in much earlier, but the fact of the matter is, as long as you get into the Hall of Fame, doesn't matter how long it takes. Sure, it's a relief for him now, and he probably didn't want to wait this long, but that's the ultimate honor.
Yeah, no doubt. And in baseball, I mean, having covered the Marlins for several years and seeing the whole Hall of Fame process and guys getting picked and all that, believe me, those guys will wait 33 years if they can get in the Hall as long as they get in. And there's been some guys that have waited forever, you know, and I guess there is a certain window of how long they're allowed to be on the ballot. But I know they do bring back, you know, players from eras many years before, and they do induct those guys into the Hall. So easily just the same way, 33 years. Some guys just have to wait a long time.
Right, and you're right. The NFL, I think, does baseball do it too, where they kind of have the veterans committee?
Right.
And so so guys who have been out of the game for a long time or maybe overlooked because of the era they played in,
right.
They not make exceptions for them, but they bring up and argue their points and their careers within the context. We get so caught up in, you know, in both sports, really, all the numbers. In the NFL especially, though, because as the game evolves, you're going to see different trends statistically. And I know baseball had to worry about the steroid era, you know, pre and post that as well. So a lot of different factors for all the different sports, but it is good to see some of the older players who maybe were overlooked for various reasons get rewarded for their careers, even if it for some it's too late in the process.
Right. Even if they look really old on TV, I think they're still happy to get in.
Yeah. Somebody here texts in and says Jason Taylor is not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Well, he is. Now, if you disagree that he should be, then that's one thing. But by, you know,
by the facts,
all standards and facts, he actually is a first ballot Hall of Famer. If you think that that's not deserving, then perhaps you can give us an argument against that. Let's go to Miami where Randall is standing by. Randall, thanks for joining the show. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing well. I just wanted to chime in a little bit about the you know, about preseason. And because one of you guys said, you know, give the fans what they want. But what the fans really want is a playoff berth and or a Super Bowl berth or, you know, a great season. And, you know, preseason doesn't really mean a lot. You know, most of the players during the preseason generally – if you're a veteran, you know that you're not going to be playing anyway. So, and you're trying to make it through, and you may want to impress the coaches here and there. But for the most part, it's two-hand touch, and definitely don't touch the quarterback like what you see today. And, you know, especially when I was playing, you know, even though you went out there and did what you had to do, you knew that it was just preseason.
Yes, that's random. Did you play in the NFL?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh, okay. Cool. Who'd you play for?
Played for Miami Dolphins, New Orleans Saints, Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, nice. So from your perspective, then, I mean, you've got the player's perspective. So how do you view the preseason? I mean, at this point, Manny and I were talking off the air that we think it's a couple of games too long. How do you view it?
I think it should be two games
from a former player's perspective.
Well, listen, the preseason is for the guys who don't have any film yet. And that's what it should be looked at. Guys who may be making a practice squad, or the one or two rookies who may make the team. Not even your first round draft picks are in that realm where, okay, well, they got to really go out there and compete. Basically, it's just learning the offense, learning the defense, and making sure that you're on top of your game mentally. And you know, even playing with Marino, you know, he wanted to make sure that you were on top of your game mentally. You had all the checkoffs. You didn't make any mistakes. And what they did was they looked at they wanted to see if, you know, how many mistakes you made. And they kept track of how many mistakes you made in practice and in some of the preseason games. But it wasn't a tell-all to say, okay, well, you made this many mistakes, he's not going to be on the team and on start, because they know what you can do. So, you know, the fans just look more towards, yeah, go out and support the team if you want, because there's no difference between a preseason game and a scrimmage. So you go out and watch practice, and you're getting the same thing. You're probably going to get even more.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Good stuff.
I'm sorry. This Randall Hill.
Okay, Randall.
I was about to say, Randall, how do you feel about the U this year?
Yeah,
I was going to drop that on you.
We were trying to connect the dots here, Randall. You told us about the teams you played for, and then we're like, man, did Randall Hill just call into the show?
Yeah, bro. I listen to you guys. I let you guys do your thing because, you know, you guys really are astute in what you're saying. I just kind of wanted to chime in on the preseason a little bit. As far as the University of Miami, they have an easy schedule. And, you know, I understand that there's questions at the quarterback spot. But, you know, and I hate saying when I was playing. But I just think, remember, in 1987, we won a national championship with a quarterback who was unproven. Mm-hmm. So, but the guys around that quarterback had to become students of the game. And the way you become student of the game is to know more than the coaches know. Try to know more than the coaches know. And you have to take the mentality of you know, and I teach younger, and I tell younger guys to have this mentality. When you're playing football, and even in life in general, especially playing under Jimmy Johnson, you either were a lion or a gazelle. Now, either way, you had to wake up and run in the morning. You had to get up and run. Because if a lion, if he didn't get up and run to chase that gazelle, then he was going to starve. If that gazelle didn't run from that lion, he was going to get eaten. So, and it's not a sense to say that, you know, running, but it means you have to get up and you have to prove yourself every day, especially at the University of Miami. So if they can get up and they can prove themselves around that starting quarterback and cover up some of his mistakes, you know, some of the guys who've been around for a while, then they'll be fine. And they can go a long way, because I expect for them to win the Coastal this year.
I hope you're right, Randall. It's been a long time. We've been talking about the Coastal, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I won't say we've dropped our standards down here to 305 and the 954, but with that being said, okay, give me the Coastal for now, and then we'll move forward from there. Hey, thanks for having me on, you guys, and I'm going to keep listening to you.
Hey, Randall, no pun intended. It was a thrill.
Thanks, appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Hey, there you go. You never know who's tuning in.
You never know who's listening.
Randall right. Thrill Hill tuning in here. Well, it was funny, if we can talk about this a little bit. I mean, we're probably going to talk about this off the air, but I might as well keep it real with our audience here. I mean, when he said that, hey, when we played in the preseason, I was like, okay. At first, I just thought it was Randall in Miami who was just giving us his opinion on when guys should play.
I screened the call. I'm answering, like, the guy's talking to me, and I have no idea it's Randall Hill. Like, I'm just answering the phone like it's anybody else, and he wants to go on the air. I put him on the air. He doesn't identify himself as Randall Hill. He doesn't identify himself as a former NFL player, as a former Cane, nothing. So I had no way of knowing, and all of a sudden we find out all together on air, hey, it's Randall Thrill Hill doing an impromptu interview now.
There you go.
What's funny is that I've interviewed Randall so many times over the years covering the Canes for different issues, different stories, and I kept hearing the voice. I said, man, that sounds so familiar. And sure enough, I mean, my hunch was right. I did know that voice.
Really cool. Randall, thanks for tuning in and for giving us a call. So cool moment there. Hey, we're going to take a quick timeout. We got time for one more segment here before we sign off. I mentioned the big story internationally in sports, which has a South Florida tie-in. So we're going to bring up that in just a moment and continue to read your text messages. We're getting some text messages about UM as well as the Dolphins quarterback situation. So stay tuned. More to get to here on 7-9 of the Tick. Fantasy football players, win your league. Come to the Tickets' third annual Anna Jar and Levine John Clayton Fantasy Football Camp with special guest CBS Sports Line's Jamie Eisenberg. Saturday night, August 26th at Sport of Kings at Gulfstream Park from 6 to 9 p.m. It's free. And win some exclusive one-on-one time with John Clayton Saturday afternoon. Just register now at theticketmiami.com. Anna Jar and Levine, accident attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Sponsored by Palm Beach Harley, by Rippet Energy Fuel, by Crave Jerky, and by Champion 4x4. For more details on attending for free, go to theticketmiami.com. Welcome back here to 7-9 of the Ticket. Final segment here on this Thursday evening. Greg Likens alongside Manny Navarro filling in for Josh Friedman. Just reading that liner there. Interesting. That's cool. John Clayton will be down here. I know seeing him on ESPN all those years, I mean, a wealth of information. There's a reason why they call him the professor.
Right.
And, yeah.
One of the best all time.
I've had a chance to interact with him when he's been at Dolphins camp before, and he walks around there when the fans see him. Like he's a celebrity around there.
Oh yeah.
So that's cool. That'll be a good opportunity and nice that 790 is involved with that. Manny, by the way, you play fantasy football?
I do. I've had a league now going on 14 years. It's a keeper league, so it's made playing fantasy GM fun and interesting because every move you make, every draft pick you make, is could shape the next several years of your fantasy league team.
Yeah, because it's not like a one and done scenario. Right. If you have a bad season, you can just stay. We'll have a fresh start.
Yeah. And we actually have defensive players that we pick up as well make it even a little bit more challenging.
So that's really involved then.
Yeah. We I think it's six defensive players, two defensive linemen, two linebackers, two DBs. Every year you gotta have those guys on the roster and basic offense, the usual fantasy team on offense. And but it's interesting because obviously the way the NFL is with injuries, every year you're just trying to load up on running backs and receivers that are gonna make it through the year so that if you make the playoffs you get lucky. And in 14 years, I've won 3 championships, and I've enjoyed it. I got lucky. I made a smart decision to trade for Peyton Manning early, and it paid off. So
that's not a bad guy to take a gamble on there if you're going to make a trade for Peyton Manning, considering what he did. But 3 championships in 14 years. I mean, that's like you're like a mini Patriots dynasty going on there.
Yeah, well, you know, the Dolphins, as poor as this last 14 years have been for this franchise up until last year where they finally got back into the playoffs. I needed something to keep me going and interested in football. So I started that fantasy football league to basically substitute for the depression that I had on Sundays when the Dolphins were losing.
Well, basically, I think what you're saying in a very humble way is that, people can attend this event and talk to Jamie Eisenberg and talk to John Clayton, but if they have any fantasy questions, I mean, you're just as resourceful a person to talk to when it comes to fantasy football based on that track record.
I'm all right. I can give you some advice, but not nearly as quality as those guys can, I'm sure.
Well, good stuff, man. I might have to my draft day this year, I might be texting Manny and be like, hey, I got a choice to make in the third round here. See what you have to say. we've been talking a lot about the Dolphins and the Hurricanes. I do want to read a couple of text messages here. Apparently, some people in our audience knew that was Randall Hill from the start.
They knew it. We didn't. We were the morons who didn't know that it was him.
I think it was in part because we weren't expecting that to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're Randall in Miami. You don't expect to be Randall Thrill Hill. The person who texted earlier about Jason Taylor has responded again saying Jason Taylor was gifted that first ballot spot. T.O. can't get in, and he had way more impact than JT.
Wow.
Well, Jason Taylor did win the Defensive Player of the Year award. He also was the Walter Payton Man of the Year. Those were a couple of years apart, but I know Walter Payton Man of the Year has nothing to do with on the field, but that means you're making an impact off the field as well. So
absolutely.
He's a guy who is not only the sack leader all-time in Miami Dolphins history, he had 139.5 sacks in total, and was as impactful as a defensive player during his time in the league as anyone else. So I don't know if it's fair to say that T.O. had a bigger impact than Jason Taylor.
I feel like he says that only because T.O. plays offense. Like, T.O. scores touchdowns, so therefore he's a bigger impact, according to this texter. I don't see any other way how you could say that, because you play two totally different positions, and both of them were elite at their position. So I don't know how you could say one person is more impactful than the other.
Well, it almost feels like, you know, and to your point, Grant, and to the point we were just talking about, it's almost like the fantasy football numbers get stuck in everyone's head. That's all you're focused on. And then you don't appreciate, you know, the great defensive play in this case with Jason Taylor.
Unless you're in fantasy leagues like Manny here that right. has defensive linemen that you pick on your team.
Well, I will say this. I think his point, and he went about it the wrong way. You don't need to put somebody down to praise somebody else, right? I think his point is T.O. should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer, and I think a lot of people agree with that.
I would agree with that, absolutely.
He was certainly an impactful player, and to say Jason Taylor wasn't as impactful, I think that's totally incorrect. I think both of those guys, in my opinion, should have been first ballot Hall of Famers. Here's my question to you, being a huge Dolphins fan. Is Jason Taylor the greatest defensive player in Dolphins history?
I would say yes. I know that some of the folks from the 70s teams will disagree. There's some, you know, even though the defenses weren't great in the 80s, I mean, they had some great players there. The 80s are more known for the offensive feats of Dan Marino and everything. The early 80s, though, I mean, some of those teams had really good defenses. But I think Jason Taylor, and I try not to be, you know, too one-sided in terms of, you know, generationally speaking, I'm 33 years old. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I didn't watch a bunch of those guys play. I've only heard the stories about it. So I try not to be biased based on my age. But I do think in talking to – I've talked to a number of players. I mean, the 50th season anniversary that the Dolphins had, they had an ongoing celebration. I interviewed almost – I mean, of the players who are still alive and of the players that are still in touch with the organization, I must have interviewed 35 to 40 of the top 50 players in Dolphins history during that season. And if you talk to them on and off the air, most of them will tell you they have great respect for Jason Taylor. Now, a lot of them will tell you, depending on their era, hey, right. we like our guys. And that's kind of the way it goes in any sport. But I'd have to say that Jason Taylor is the greatest defensive player in the franchise's history.
Yeah, and then who sort of comes in second?
Like,
that's
kind of what
debate?
I was about to right. ask. Like, there's Jason Taylor to me, and then there's everybody else, right? You have those 70s teams, and, you know, maybe like a, you know, Nick Bonacotti or somebody. But to me, like, nobody else has been on that level of a Jason Taylor on this team before. Again, I'm the same age as Greg, so I didn't get to see a lot of, you know, the 70s or early 80s Dolphins, so I missed out on a lot of that. But I mean, I don't see anybody else at that Hall of Fame level at their position like Jason was.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can pretty much say offensively and defensively it's Marino and Jason Taylor. I think they sort of separate themselves from the pack pretty significantly.
Mm-hmm.
Got names that come to my mind having grown up on the Dolphins. I think Zach Thomas is another guy who's up there with JT. Bonacani, you mentioned earlier. Jake Scott, I guess, was phenomenal back in the 70s. And then you had the Killer Bees, right, mm-hmm. in the 82 Super Bowl. So, I mean, as far as overall impact, the guy who, to me, took over a game in crunch time situations, nobody did it better than JT.
Yeah, I agree. And
you know what? I just thought of something. Going back to the 70s, I don't think that you could say that any of they were called the no-name defense. Right. Like, there's a reason for that. So I don't see how you could put an individual in that defense over Jason.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, some of these defenses, yes, there have been some standout players, but there have been a lot of, like, really good players all playing together at once. And so mm-hmm. I'm not taking anything away from them. But if you're talking about, as you just pointed out, Manny, using your term, a player who's separated himself from the rest, Jason Taylor would fit in that category.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting topic because even though we can joke a little bit about the relative lack of success the Dolphins have had in recent years, and it's extended longer than everybody would have liked, I mean, this franchise is so storied in terms of the accomplishments, yeah. especially early on, that it's very meaningful for Jason Taylor to hold that mantle as the greatest defensive player in team history. Another texter here relating to the Dolphins asked about Brandon Doughty. How's his progress? He had good numbers come out of college. Gase mentioned last year he wants to take his time with him. Any chance he'll get a shot? I think Adam Gase likes him. He likes working with young quarterbacks. And Doughty, a nice story, a seventh-round pick out of Western Kentucky who's from South Florida.
North Broward Prep. I remember interviewing Brandon Doughty.
Okay,
he was in high school.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a really cool story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the Dolphins, and this is my opinion, so I don't, you know, I haven't checked into this, but I don't think they feel comfortable with him being the guy this upcoming season should a Matt Moore get injured as well. I think they would need to bring in somebody who's more solidified and has some experience.
Yeah, no question. I think the Dolphins, to me, like I said earlier in the show, I think between the next 48 and 72 hours, if they're smart and this injury is serious, they will go out and sign another quarterback. They just have to. You can't go into a season with only Matt Moore and a bunch of guys that haven't played.
Right. That's tough. And David Fales is the other guy who's on the depth chart who, by the way, he has 5 pass attempts in his NFL career. All 5 of those pass attempts came last year with the Bears, a very bad Bears team. So, Manny, I wanted to switch topics for a second here, and we go from football to football if we're going to go to international soccer. Crazy story. It's got a South Florida connection, which I'll explain in a moment, but Brazilian star Neymar has officially signed with Paris Saint-Germain today for a record $264 million. That was the transfer fee, which is insane. It was 222 million euros, roughly equates to $260+ million. There was this buyout clause in his contract moving from FC Barcelona to PSG. Reportedly set to sign a deal with PSG. So that was just the transfer fee.
Right, just to free him up from his contract.
Just to free him up so he could go there. He's set to sign a deal that will pay him annually somewhere between $30 and $35 million after taxes to play for the team. So they're shelling out a ton of money, PSG is, to get him from FC Barcelona. And this absolutely obliterates the transfer record that we saw set last summer when Paul Pogba moved from Juventus to Manchester United for $116 million.
Just $116
Just million.
$116, pocket change, mere pocket change.
But I bring it up because, I mean, you cover the NBA, and the numbers in terms of the salaries continue to go up, and it seems like crazy money. I mean, this world soccer is right up there with it, and it's got that caveat where you can't just move from team to team. They're the transfer fees, and that's really where the headlines are made in this specific story.
Well, you said $260 million. How much was it that Jeffrey Loria paid for the Marlins again? I mean.
Right. We're talking about him paying less for the Marlins than they paid for one player.
For one guy, just to get him off that team. It's pretty ridiculous. And I think I saw on SportsCenter last night, they came up with 11 players in the NBA. If you combine their salaries, it still wouldn't be enough for that transfer fee, to cover that transfer fee. And it was like LeBron James, Steph Curry. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But again, that's how big soccer is, that a team like Paris Saint-Germain has that money laying around.
Well, it's crazy. And the reason there's a South Florida connection is with El Clasico Miami occurring, you know, it seems like it was much longer ago, but it was just, 5 days ago down here at Hard Rock Stadium. That was now officially the final game that Neymar played in FC Barcelona uniform.
Yeah, crazy. And, you know, he's a phenomenal player. I watch some soccer. I'm not a diehard soccer fan, but I did watch that match a little bit. And you know, between him and Messi and I forget the name of the third player on that team. Suarez. They've got, it's basically like the Golden State Warriors of soccer, where they were.
In terms of scoring
and just ridiculous amount of offense on one squad. And yet he's leaving for another squad. And FC Barcelona is still going to be one of the best teams in the world. It's just crazy how much money these top of the line soccer clubs can spend on different players. How much did they pay Messi? I know they redid his contract though.
I mean, he's making himself in salary, I think over $30 million a year himself, and then he's got all sorts of, you know, sponsorships that, you know, he brings in ad dollars as well off the field. So
we really are disconnected here in South Florida from the soccer phenomenon that is the rest of the world, because people just go nuts over soccer. And I know people here are like, if they bring a MLS team here, I'm not going to be that excited. Who really cares about soccer? But I'm telling you, Miami FC's done well, right?
Yeah.
They've had some big crowds over there for their games.
Yeah, and tough loss last night, but they've exceeded expectations this season for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think, you know, before the Tannehill news broke this morning, I was like, oh, maybe Manny and I'll talk about this new David Beckham MLS, the next step in that, because that was relatively big news last night, but largely overshadowed by
just a little bit
the American football news here. But I had to bring up Neymar because that's just nuts. And for those who attended El Clasico Miami, you saw history, not just that those two teams played each other, but you saw Neymar's final match in a Barcelona uniform. So significant from that standpoint as well. Hey, Manny, it's been fun tonight, man.
It was fun. Definitely entertaining. We got a hot first couple of hours there with callers. That was thank God for Colin Kaepernick, right?
Yeah. Appreciate everybody who called, who texted, and who tweeted us throughout the show as well. Grant Skidmore, excellent job, man. Fun to work with you tonight. Manny, great to work with you again as well.
Thanks for having me.
We'll catch up again soon. Also, want to wish Josh Friedman the best. Hope he's enjoying his time off. We're going to say goodnight. Coming up next, ESPN Radio here on 790 The Ticket.